Welcome to the Moms Making Six Figures podcast. My name is Heidi Bartolotta. I'm your host. In this podcast, you will hear real women, real stories, and real inspiration. If you enjoy it, please subscribe. Hi, Moms Making Six Figures. Today, I get to interview my friend, Ray Allen. She is the CEO of Peppershock Media. She also teaches marketing at her university here. And I just think that you're going to enjoy this. She's very lively. She's much more fun than I am. And she has years and years under her belt in marketing. She also, at the end of the podcast, gives you a way to access some of her free resources. So for those of you that are starting a business or you have a business and you're really interested in kind of upping your marketing game, I didn't say that very well, you definitely want to follow her. So enjoy today's show. First of all, thank you for doing this. It took us a while. I feel like I say this a lot because most of the women that I interview have busy, crazy lives, but it took us a while to get this on the calendar.
We did. Yeah. We're finally here. Thank you. Thank you for having me and like all the hair and makeup and wonderful things that we got to do today.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me on yours. So,
of course. Yeah. Pod swap. That's what we do, right?
Exactly. So I would love it if you would start out by just telling our audience a little bit about how you ended up here. You're the CEO of a marketing company, and this is not where you started, obviously. Right, yeah. So will you just talk a little bit about your journey to where you are today?
Sure. Well, I was born in Moscow, Idaho. No, I'm kidding. So really it all began in high school, and I was, we started the broadcast class at Valley View High School, go Falcons. And it was my history teacher who said, Ray, you really need to sign up for this class. And so I did. And at first I was on camera, in front of the camera, thinking I was going to be like a newscaster. And then I realized behind the scenes is where I'm better, directing and telling people what to do. Uh-huh. And so it really kind of took off from there. And I actually interned at Channel 6 when I was 15.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that part of your story.
It was the ABC affiliate at the time. And got through high school, and then television really put me through college. And my undergrad, I went to Boise State. I started working for Channel 12 and then was the first newscast director there. Fox 12 News at 9, it's about time. And then from there, really started to do more in television, and then also work, got my undergrad out of the way, and actually met my husband, now husband, at Channel 12. So we went and we got together, went to Seattle for a few years. That's right. And then he got his degree in video production and design at the Art Institute of Seattle while I worked at Northwest Cable News and then Q13 and did all kinds of things within the TV station. So I was also in promotions and working with the Sonics and Sounders and Seahawks. And then at night I would direct news, and in Seattle it comes on at 11. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's why there are Starbucks on every corner, because news comes on so late. So everyone has to, you know, drink their Starbucks. But did that, and Drew also interned at a whole bunch of big city agencies and got a lot of big city experience. And I worked on my master's degree at the same time. And so I have a master's in marketing and entrepreneurship. And then we decided to bring all of our big city experience back home to the Boise, Idaho area. And we're actually in Nampa now and have been there. And it'll be going on 19 years that we've been doing Peppershock Media together. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't know this about your story, but you and I were probably in Seattle at the same time.
Maybe so. Yeah, it was 2001, 2002, kind of that whole time frame. Yeah.
When you said Sonics, I'm like, oh, yeah, I was at a lot of those games.
When they were still there. That was the real Ray Allen, right? Yeah. But at the time, my name was Peppersack, so not Ray Allen at the time. But yeah.
So you kind of have, you're an anomaly in that I think most of the women that I've interviewed didn't know at such a young age that they were going to take a certain career path. Obviously, there's been a few like doctors that, you know, they knew very young, but you're very unusual in that. To know at 15 that you were interested in marketing is pretty rare, right?
Yeah. And I think even further beyond that, it's always wanting to have my own business. My grandparents on both sides, my grandparents on my dad's side, they ran a motel in Baker City, Oregon. So I have lots of experience in the hospitality industry. And then on the other side, they run a farm. And so I know what hard work is and I know what it takes to run a business. And I actually know how to balance tee sheets, right? And like how to do books the old fashioned way.
Yeah.
And so not that I want to do bookkeeping because that was never my love, but I could do it and I did it. And so, yeah. And
even it's a special then, person. Yep, it is.
I know, right? Spreadsheets are not my love, but I had those capabilities, you know, kind of passed on to me from my grandparents. And so I knew that I always wanted to have my own business. And I knew that, you know, media and video production and design, all of those things interest me. And marketing was really kind of what I fell in love with. And so when my husband and I got together, we literally made a hybrid agency. He was video production, design, and those things. And I was the marketing and PR communication side of it. And then we grew from there. Now we've got 10 people.
You know what I think would be interesting for us to talk about for our listeners is normally I ask a lot of questions about motherhood, right? Managing a business, a career, and motherhood. But you also run a business with your husband.
I do.
Right?
Yes.
That brings in a very different dynamic that there's probably some women out there that would be like, oh my gosh, tell me how you do it. Like, how does that work, right? The good and the bad.
Yep.
If you're willing to share.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, has its trials and tribulations along the way. But I think the best thing is that we are yin and yang to each other. I am,
it just works for you.
It totally works. And I do think we balance each other out in just different areas. I'm, you know, the visionary and I see the big picture and, you know, I'm go, go, go. And he's a little more analytical and, you know, more supportive that way. And so we really do kind of have that balance, which is good.
So you really have your roles. You've really, Is there any like bit of wisdom that you would say, because I'm sure there were some struggles in finding those roles, right? Like, is there something that you would say, oh, when we figured out this or that it was really helpful?
I think the key to our success is the schedule, the calendar, honestly. I mean, we live and die by that. And my, you know, husband helps pick up the kids and he helps do things. And we have a 16 and 14 year old two boys. And they've also grown up in the business too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, been a part of it. But it does help to plan ahead as much as we can and plan out who's going to do what and who's going to be responsible for what and when. And, you know, we just work together as a team. And if I'm out at an event and, you know, one of the kids needs to go somewhere or be somewhere, then he's really good about that. And I also have family in town. You know, we live 2 miles away from my mother-in-law, which is a really good thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not, but for us, it is really good. And my dad just moved, he retired and moved back from Alaska. So he's around. And so we have that support from other people that help us do this business together and make the things happen that need to be, you know, done. And I think that's one thing that it takes a lot of work to plan and also have time to not always do business, right? And go places and do things.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that I would imagine for couples that work together. It's the separation. Like, how do you keep that separated? So it's nice that you said that, I think. And the calendar probably really helps because it's like, oh, these are work commitments and these are personal commitments. Mm-hmm. But the support team you brought up with your family, I think is also a big one.
Yeah.
I watch women try to run businesses where they don't engage a support team. And I just don't think you can do it.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is our boys are involved in scouts, and Drew is a assistant scout master, and he also has other scouts that are a part of it. So there's other moms that are scouters too, that are scout moms. And so, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shared responsibility. And, and you know, my friend Amanda, her boys have grown up in scouts with my boys. And you know what? There's been weekends where my kids went over to her house for the whole weekend and her kids came to my house for the whole weekend. And it's been a really good thing to have other people that you can rely on and lean on to, you know, send your kid out when you need to go someplace or do something. But Yeah, that's definitely having the support and being able to call on people to help when you need it, and vice versa, and, you know, reciprocate that help when they need it too. Yeah.
So let's dive a little bit more into the business piece. So yeah. I love, obviously, you've gotten to know me pretty well. I love for women to hear the struggles.
Sure.
So talk a little bit about that. I mean, you obviously have a really strong entrepreneurial background, but I know there were struggles along the way. Give us one or two and kind of something that would help someone that might be going through it now, or something where it's there for them. So when they do go through it, they're like, I remember that woman on that podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't always talk about this part of my life much, but I moved out when I was 17 and was told that I wouldn't amount to much because my last year I didn't focus on school as much as I should have. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was honor society, all the good things. And my last year was pretty hard, and I just took it and just didn't care like I should have. Mm-hmm. And so I moved out with a whole bunch of roommates, partied way too much, did stupid things that I should never have done, right? But realized, you know what? I have to get through this. I have to go to school. I have to, you know, make things happen for me. On my mom's side, I'm first generation college student who graduated from college. And I didn't want to be the sixth generation of females in my life to have a baby at 17 or 18 years old. I was the first one not to have a child at that young of an age. Mm-hmm. And it's no disrespect to my grandparents and great grandmas and my, you know, all those things, but I at some point had to wake up and, you know, now I'm on my own. Now I'm doing my own things and I have to get it together because I am my own boss. I am my own person. If anybody's going to make it happen, it's going to be me. So I think that during that time, I went through a lot of just being rebellious and getting it out of my system. Mm-hmm. And if I would have stayed on that track, I wouldn't be here today. I would not be sitting here doing this with you. I would have, you know, probably, I don't know, who knows what would have happened, but it was not a good path for a while. And so those who are listening who, you know, may think that if your family has never gone to college before, you can do it, because I did. And it's not easy to get yourself through it and, you know, be told that you're going to amount to nothing unless you get your act together.
Yeah.
And truly that is a big part of my kind of turnaround in my life of getting myself put together and making it happen.
And probably a really big driver in your success, because I think it's so interesting. I was actually just talking with a really dear friend of mine about this, that those of us that grew up with not much, we tend to have this work ethic because we didn't have. And, you know, I think sometimes when you're in it, you look at it like, oh, I wish I had whatever, that life, that person's life. But you look back and you think, oh, it was really a blessing in disguise. So it's interesting for me to hear you say that, because I didn't know that part about your story. Yeah.
One of my favorite questions to ask new potential employees, what was the first thing that you saved your money for that you spent your own money on? And for me, I bought my own car. Yeah. It was very important to me to be able to do that. And I wanted my own money, my own car, my own, you know, and it's interesting to understand how the trajectory of people, how their mindset is, their work ethic and the things. And not to say that people who work hard, if somebody, you know, mommy, daddy buy them their car, it's not always that way.
Right.
But if, you know, having kind of a silver spoon versus having the ability to make your own spoon is quite different in how you treat your work ethic and how you know and can appreciate the things that you're accomplishing because of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's not just gifted to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's jump into Pepper Shock. So you have, and I didn't say this, but you also teach at university. I do. So you teach marketing. So you own a marketing company and you teach marketing. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Pepper Shock. And I know that I'm going to ask you to share with our audience as we get to the end, just how they can learn from you, because there's so much. You put a lot of rich resources out there. So I'm excited for them to learn that. But talk about the company. And, you know, you've had it for so many years now as a female business owner. And granted, you have your husband with you, but as a female business owner, we talk about, I don't know, a hurdle that someone could learn from, because you have owned your business for a long time, right?
We've weathered some storms, yeah, for sure.
I mean, the economy definitely has had to have impacted you because you're in marketing. Right. So you work for companies. Mm-hmm. So when companies struggle, obviously.
It rolls downhill, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So will you talk a little bit about maybe weathering one or two of those?
Yeah. So I can remember the very first, downturn in the economy, the recession that was going on, 2007, 2008. And I mean, clients were dropping like flies, right, just kind of like the pandemic during, while people were trying to figure out what was going to happen and navigate the pandemic and whether or not they were going to have marketing budgets or, money to even employ the people that they had working for them.
Right.
And, it's interesting because what got us through that first recession truly was a government contract.
Interesting.
And because of that, we were able to sustain our people. The second time, with the pandemic, government money kind of got through it, right? And it's tough to take weather. It, but we had to do it,
So in the first one, the government contract, was it something that you had prior to the recession or was it something that came during?
It came during.
So just a blessing during that
totally
time.
It totally was. It really was.
And obviously you'd built the reputation to deserve it, but that's interesting.
Yeah. We basically were contacted by a prime contractor and we were a sub to a prime, to a federal contract. And it was guaranteed money, which was, normally we probably wouldn't necessarily go after it because it's not the type of work that we would otherwise do because it's pretty remedial and it was training videos and, things that otherwise wouldn't be the love of what we would want to do.
Right.
But I sure loved being able to keep my people employed.
Yeah.
And so, you benefit the benefits and drawbacks of the jobs that you take on. And sometimes you do those to sustain. And, kind of like during the pandemic, we had several clients that couldn't utilize our services and they're slowly starting to come back now, but it did. The hospitality industry, the restaurant industry. I mean, we lost clients that way. And, we ended up doing some things that, again, we don't normally do. Like we broadcast a graveside, a funeral. It's the craziest thing that we did during the pandemic, but we knew how to use Zoom. We'd been using Zoom for a long time and we had a relationship with a wireless provider and we had the production truck and we could run the generator away so that people couldn't hear it. And coincidentally, all the grave sites are 6 feet apart so people could distance themselves. And we did it. But it was a very prominent, former senator who had passed away. And if we hadn't done it, 600 people who were on the Zoom call wanted to be there and participate could otherwise, and if they weren't there in person, then they could still participate in the service. Yeah.
But the thing that I love about asking these kinds of questions is you just do what you need to do. So you're looking at what do we have the capability for? Okay. We have a strength in this that probably most people were not using Zoom at the, I know the world uses
now
Zoom.
Now it does, right? But yeah.
But they weren't at the time.
Yep.
And you had a proficiency in it. And so you chose to use it in a different way, which I love. Yeah. So
we also did graduations. High school students who couldn't graduate, right?
Right.
Get their traditional graduations. So we did. We did several graduations on Zoom. And again, it was nothing that we normally do, but we had the capacity and the capability and we just, made it happen.
And what a blessing for those people that you were able to do it too.
Yeah. Never have we ever had to do that before, the pandemic. Right. And now I think it's going to happen
probably a lot
all the
more.
Time, right? Because now people who can't come in person, like for weddings concerned. And all those things. But I mean, we don't normally do those things, but it was certainly something that could get done. And it also helped us sustain our employees. Business. The other thing that was really cool that we got to do is the Boise Philharmonic. Now, normally,
I remember that
recording any performance is absolutely, you cannot do it.
Right.
So we had to get special permission from all of their, the unions that they work for to be able to record. And it was the weirdest thing. Morrison Center is completely empty of people. So it's like they were performing this concert just for me. Yeah. But I was behind the camera. And so we're just a select few of our crew and this amazing music, this whole production for whole season so that they could have, the Philharmonic on demand. And people watched people who never went to the Boise Philharmonic in person started watching it online. Right. So now we've just opened
it was
a whole
accessible
new audience
to them. Yeah.
Exactly. So now there's a whole new audience that are now going to, you know, be exposed to this because of it.
I know. Yeah. I do think, you know, living through the pandemic, obviously it's going to be history books, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's so many, if you look for them, there are blessings that Absolutely. Have come out of it. So, okay. I want to tailor into a couple of questions and then wrap up. So the question that I always ask my guests is, do you remember when you hit six figures and what that felt like?
Gosh. I'm going to say 2000.
Not year, just how it felt. Like, do you you remember it generally.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But what did that mean, if anything? Did it mean something to you?
Gosh. Because when we first started the business, the only loan that we got was from my father-in-law and my mother-in-law at the time. And you know, it was to buy our first camera. And so when we got to pay that back, and then the following year, when we started, you know, actually, you know, getting our business up and running, right. I mean, that was such a good feeling. You know, you make these business plans and you do all these things that you're supposed to do, but gosh, does it ever follow what you do on paper? No way.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that it was, you know,
I love
it
that.
Was delightful. I mean, as the business, right. I mean, now what we pay ourselves in salaries, you know, at the time we were just a sole proprietor. So everything that the business made, it was ours anyway, you know? But yeah, I mean, it was very fruitful when I got to quit my main job that I had at the time. Mm-hmm. And then Drew got to quit his job. He was working at Channel 6 and making, you know, commercials for mm-hmm. Channel 6 for production. He had gone back to Channel 6 and worked for them after we came back from Seattle. And when we both got to quit and then we got to do this full time and like take it not just as our side hustle, you know, I mean, there was a point where it was like, okay, am I working more on Pepper Shock after hours than I am in my main job or, you know, what gives? And yeah, I mean, so yeah, not too long after we got started is really when we started kicking in and making some money. And it was, you know, we started working for Albertsons and Tamarack and the Arts Commission, and we were doing all kinds of cool, fun things. And it started to build up from there.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, okay. Book or podcast?
What do I listen to most? Because I listen to both.
One that you would recommend or two.
Sure. Well, I just recently got to interview the podcast host of Marketing Over Coffee.
Okay.
And so we did a swap cast too. So I actually like listening to his too. It's a lot of, you know, marketing tools and techniques that are, you know, relevant to what we're doing too. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Moms Making Six Figures podcast.
Oh, you don't have to say that. No, I love for people to hear things that they can add.
Yeah, sure.
Because everybody has different...
Amy Porterfield is one I love to listen to. I mean, she's definitely got it dialed in for online, you know, webinars and marketing and building your brand and things online. And she's doing all kinds of classes and, you know, how to make money at teaching online, right?
Yeah.
And so I've definitely listened to a lot of her tips and techniques and things like that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything that I didn't ask that you think?
Oh, you're asking that question. I asked you.
I always ask it. But when you threw it at me, I was like, oh my gosh, I should have known this was coming.
That's awesome. I love it. So what did you not ask me that you should have? No, I'm kidding. Yes. I don't know. Let's see. I guess, I don't know. Ask me what my favorite color is?
What is your favorite color?
Orange. You know why?
Why?
Because Pepper Shock.
I was going to say your brand is orange. Okay. Yes, so how can our listeners find you?
Absolutely. There's a couple different ways. And you mentioned, you know, just all the resources that we do. So I do teach a lot of different things. So we have the free Facebook group, the Marketing Expedition members group. And then every second Thursday, we do a new topic, a live webinar every second Thursday, the Marketing Expedition webinar. So we can go on marketing journeys together. And then Clubhouse is every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. And I love Clubhouse. It's so much fun. I get to meet people from all over. And then we do different types of events throughout the year. Culture and Brand Camp is one event that I love to do. New marketing trends for the new year, and just different things. Stocktoberfest is always a fun thing. And it's our anniversary, our workversary, as we call it. So that's always a big party. Everybody dresses up for adults.
So fun.
It's kind of like the adult Halloween costume party for October. Anyway, so lots of fun things that we get involved in. But I would say go to peppershock.com/events, and you can see what's coming up. And then you can register for the webinars and all that. Oh, and the podcasts, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you have a podcast.
Yes, yes. And so we just were ranked within the top 10% most popular podcast in the globe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I'm so happy and so proud because my team does a lot to help make it happen. And so anyway, so the Marketing Expedition podcast, and it's released every Thursday. So yeah.
Cool. And thank you again for doing this with me.
Thank you. This is so much fun. I love it.
Thank you for listening to the Moms Making Six Figures podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. To learn more about Moms Making Six Figures, head over to momsmakingsixfigures.com. That's right, momsmakingsixfigures.com.